You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
You know what I'm craving? A little perspective. That's it. I'd like some fresh, clear, well-seasoned perspective. Can you suggest a good wine to go with that?
With, what, sir?
Perspective. Fresh out, I take it.
I am,
Very well. Since you're all out of perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the perspective. Which would go nicely with a bottle of Cheval Blanc, 1940.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're discussing love. We're determining when love is true love and when it's really not. You know, I think a lot of people out there nowadays are starving for affection. They're starving for attention. And a lot of times that affection and attention gets kind of all rolled up into what they think love is. And unfortunately, a lot of people are kind of blind to know what love is. And I think that sometimes people think something's love and other people think something's love, but it's really the way that somebody's making them feel. And so I think that's interesting. We're going to talk about that tonight. Billy Boy, how you doing?
I am doing wonderful. It's a great Saturday night here in the studio.
It's a beautiful Saturday night. It's a little warm, but it's good. It's good.
You know, and this is a really great topic that you've chosen tonight because it's something that I feel, you know, pretty strong about. You know, I mean, what is love? I think it depends on the context.
It really does. And I think you were saying on break earlier, you were talking about how the concept of, before we came on the air, about how love is different.
Yeah, I mean, it depends upon, is it romantic love? Is it love between friends, love between family, love for your pet, love for your job, love for money, inanimate object?
Do you think the English language is lacking a little bit in the fact that there's just L-O-V-E and there's no other concepts? Because I know that we were talking about how in Mexico, when you're speaking Spanish, there's different words for different types of love.
Yeah, and I'll get into that here in just a few moments, but I definitely think you got it right on the head.
Eric, what's going on? How you doing tonight?
I am so happy to be here. You know, I've been searching high and I've been searching low for love, but I think I found it in the studio.
Studio love.
Studio of love.
The studio of love. What's up?
Gotta use your Barry White voice there. Studio of love.
Studio of love.
It's the quiet storm.
Love.
And the quiet storm. It always started at like 9 p.m., you know?
Let's see if we can make some love tonight.
Oh, there
Ooh,
it goes.
Making love, but, not war.
But see, I mean, you know, you just hit on the, what we were talking about before we went on the air tonight, Ashley. I mean, if you want to talk about romantic love, okay, I think that what most people think a lot of times is lust. You know, I think most people confuse the words lust with love.
Well, they see sex as love. So a lot of people think sex is love. And in actuality, sex is not love. Intimacy is love.
Right.
Sex is not love. I mean, you can have sex with somebody you don't even like.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, people do it all the time. Revenge sex. I mean, you know, come on. Let's think about all these concepts that people have. I mean, meeting somebody in a bar for 30 minutes and taking them home, that's not love.
I love you.
What was your name again?
Well, I mean, you know, I really think that the English language is not very good at expressing, you know, what we mean by love. Other languages have different words, you know, for different types of love. Like, for example, Spanish, you can say, you know, me encanta or you know, me amo or me gusta, you know, that depending upon, you know, what you mean by you like this, you love that person, or, you know, just a friendship love.
Well, I see what you're saying, but I think a lot of times people take it out of context based upon the fact that they actually are starving for affection. I think that you can meet somebody and you can know them for a week and you have not once come on to them. You've not once, you know, made any sort of sexual advances or anything like that. And that person misconstrues your love for, you know, oh, I want more. I want sex. I want this. I want that. When in actuality, I mean, it's kind of like if you piece it together and you realize where we are in this world, I mean, I think sometimes people just take it out of context. I mean, I had the other day, and I'm not going to, you know, say names or point fingers, but I've been on, you know, recently been doing a lot more work on Twitter. I've been doing a lot more, you know, conversating and tweeting and what have you. And I had someone that actually said, you know, hey, I love you. I'm in love with you. I can't wait to meet you. And I thought it was just the love of, you know, okay, we just met on Twitter. I don't hardly know you. I have two pictures on Twitter.
Wow, that's a little scary.
Yeah.
I mean, that's scary.
I have two pictures on Twitter. The rest of them are my dog Buddy. So are you in love with my little miniature bull terrier? Are you in love with me? And the rest of it's like juicing. I do a lot of juicing. So it's like, how do you know who I am? And I responded back with, well, I love you too, because I love everybody. I'm a very loving person, because love is really the only feeling we can actually really have, the only emotion we have. And so when I wrote that back, that person automatically was like, okay, well, when can I see you? And I can't wait to see you naked.
Oh,
and
da-da-da-da-da. Seriously?
Yeah, seriously. Wow.
That is creepy.
Wow.
And I recently had someone else that I thought was a woman. I thought she was a woman. I thought she was an older woman online. And so when she said she loves me, I was like, I love you too, sweetheart. You know, anyway, I find out yesterday that this woman's a man. And, wow. And they were like, no, I'm a man and I'm into you and I live here and I can't wait to meet you. And I'm thinking, I respond back with, I'm married. I am not interested. I'm in love with people in general. And then they were like, oh, are you mad at me? I'm so sorry. Are you mad at me?
But see, I think that's, excuse me, that's my point.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, when you say, I love you, how do you get across the concept that you've just meant it, you know, love for humanity in general?
And that's hard because a lot of people don't love humanity. A lot of people don't see it that way.
But also, you know, people can misconstrue it as, you know, hey, you know, I love you too. Thanks for listening. Oh, she really loves me. He or she thought that you meant it, you know, personally for that. You know,
and I did mean it personally, but I didn't mean it
in a romantic sense. Right.
I mean, I meant it personally and I mean it. But at the same point in time, and then they asked me if I was mad at them, and I was thinking, why would I be mad at you? I'm not mad at you. I have no reason to be mad at you. There's no reason to be. You've been there before.
Yeah, Ryder. I think we've all been there. You know that's scary. You just meet somebody and they're talking about love. You know, whatever happened to like? You remember in grade school and the little girls in school, well, little girls for me, and they'd write you a little love note and it said LIKE, do you like me?
Well,
you
know, yes kind or no. Of,
see, you know,
check yes, check no. Let's start with like, man.
I mean, you and I, we're dating ourselves. You know, I mean,
it's okay.
I mean, you know, when we were in grade school, I mean, that's the way it was. But I don't think that's the way, you know, younger people do it nowadays. I mean,
how do we lose it, man?
It's like,
how do we jump to love
substitute
so
the two words and it's almost where they're meaningless.
Yeah, but I think you like people. I mean, I think in general, I like people, but I in general, I love people. I love the human condition. I love people for who they are. And I think that sometimes when people do use that interchangeably, it's hard because, you know, in my situation, I'm doing it because I love people. I mean, you know, but I think people can misconstrue it just because, like what I was saying, most people are starved for affection.
And there's no conditions attached to the kind of love you're talking about, Ashley. And I think that's the other thing. You know, love today, it's a method. It's a tactic. It's a strategy to get something else, conditional. And we've lost sight of that. And that's a little scary. That's a little scary. It doesn't happen overnight. And people want it to happen overnight.
And I think you're right about that. I think also, what about knowing people? I mean, the level of knowledge. How long have you known somebody? Do you barely know them? Do you know them well? Have you known them for a very long time? Are you close friends? You know, are you lovers? Are you casual lovers? Are you friends, acquaintances? Or do you barely know each other? I think depending on the situation, you can easily deduct, you know, where you're at, except for sex doesn't mean love and sex doesn't mean intimacy. And I think a lot of times people misconstrue as well when you introduce sex into a relationship. You know, for some people immediately, once they have sex with somebody, are immediately attached. I mean, there's no question, but there's really no intimacy in between this. So they're basically creating the fascination of love from this act of sex.
Because they've never experienced it as a child of parents and any of that. And that's the really, really scary thing, that people are giving all of themselves for something that's not really there.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Well, and here's another thing, Imani. I mean, you know, think about the phrase we use a lot of times, making love.
Yeah.
Okay. That English phrase.
Would you put it in a pot and put in the oven or
something? Yeah, you know, bake it up or whatever. I mean, you know, especially with somebody, you know, maybe that you're still getting to know. I mean, can you really make love to, you know, with that person, you know, in a romantic sense of the word?
I don't see how you can make love. I mean, you're not in there making it in an oven. You're not like, you know, in the pot pie or something, the pot pie of love. You're not creating like love out of, you know, I don't understand how that connotation ever came about.
And I think especially with that particular concept, we get into this later in the show, but, you know, there's a male-female divide there. You know what I mean? You know, men are perfectly capable of the act of sex without an emotional attachment.
To some degree.
I know in my own experience, you know, with past relationships, you know, that's been an issue.
Yeah, no, I get it. You know, something else on that point, Billy, is love was always a word as a guy, as a guy's guy. We ran from that. Remember back in the day when the relationship got to the L-O-V-E, then that was time for the E-X-I-T.
Yeah, the commitment issue.
Yeah, the commitment issue. So that's it's an interesting dynamic, and I'm looking forward to the show tonight because I look forward to what we might reveal.
What we might reveal could be interesting. I think we're going to reveal a lot about intimacy, about sex, about love, about what's real and what's not. You know, and the biggest thing is to realize, do you love them or do you love the way they make you feel? So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Massive perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, Perspectives, we're discussing love, what true love is and what true love isn't.
What is love?
Baby, don't hurt me. God, you love that song.
Don't hurt me.
I love that song.
No more.
You know, that tape got stuck in my car. So back when I was like a freshman in college, I remember we put that song on and it was just the single of the tape. I mean,
right.
I had an old car, okay? And my parents weren't going to give me a new car. They drove that car for 12 years and then they gave it to me. So anyway, I have the tape. We stuck it in there. Everybody's listening to it and all of a sudden it gets stuck in there forever.
Oh, no.
Forever.
So that's the only thing you can listen to.
Lady, don't hurt me. 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 And then all of a sudden, it just stopped working. And then we tried to use like pliers to get it out. Anyway, long story short, whoever ended up buying that car for me had that tape stuck in there.
And probably hates you for all eternity. Yeah. So talk about love. You know, there's a story of hate.
Don't hurt me.
But you know what? You know, something interesting about that song. They talk about love, and then it goes immediately from love to baby, don't hurt me. So there's. It's speaking to vulnerability, man. Is that kind of something?
Well, I that's a really great point, E-Money. In order to love someone.
E-Money? Now, when did it become E-Money? I was hearing this on the first segment, and now we're doing the E-Money thing.
Yeah, I like it.
It's you know, we're bros, you know? I mean, fist bump.
Makes me
you
sound know? Icy.
Yeah. So,
ice baby.
Oh God, no.
Okay. No.
Stop tape.
Stealth, solid.
I was
going to
say, Ashley, I will punch you if you just say, you know.
Damn.
Like test of vanilla ice.
Okay. Oh gosh.
He's not a bad guy.
He is a bad guy.
Love has just left the studio.
Love has definitely left the studio.
Okay, so Bill talked about punching me. Now he's upset about DJ Icy or DJ Ice Ice Baby.
Baby, don't hurt
there
me.
There is a DJ Icy though. There is a DJ
there
Icy.
Is there? Okay.
Yeah, there is. I used to be in a lot of club music. So what's the base of the relationship? Right, let's think about this. Are we lovers? Are we casual lovers? Are we close friends? Are we friends? Are we acquaintances? Or do we barely know each other? And I think depending on the situation, you can easily deduct what it is. And I think that sometimes sex always normally gets in the way of trying to figure out what a relationship truly is. And that's why when you always hear movies and so forth, when people would say, well, if you have sex, you're going to ruin the friendship. Or we have to have sex to save the friendship. You know, because you have all these different levels of, well, where are we and how intimate are we? But, you know, sex doesn't make a relationship and sex isn't intimacy. And I think a lot of times we kind of teeter on reason when we're dealing with sex in a relationship.
Reason goes out the window when it comes to sex and passion.
I mean,
it complicates everything.
You know, the old joke, you're thinking with the wrong body part, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Which that's, you know, equal for men and women, by the way.
Well, I think some people have sex and it can be the best sex they ever had and it can be the worst, the absolute worst person they could ever get married to or ever be in a relationship with. Like the absolute, they are the antithesis. It is like Superman and Kryptonite. So, I mean, that's how I think a lot of times the best sex is. And the only reason that is because of some sort of crazy chemistry. But otherwise, that relationship's not going to work.
It's a toxic relationship.
Kind of like makeup sex, right?
Yeah.
Let's create a situation so we can have makeup sex.
And some people, that's a good point. Some people, you know, actually seek out arguments just so, you know, I mean,
which is absent of love, or is it a pathway to love?
Well, I
depends
I
mean, on how you define love.
I was going to say, you know, we keep going around circles here. I mean, you know, what is love?
There lies the challenge of love.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to figure that all out tonight. So that's, you know, so put it to bed. We're all good. We're all safe. You know, don't worry your pretty little head about it. We're going to figure this out now.
Love has entered the studio again. Great.
We're back again. We're back in love.
I know I'm going to want to punch Ashley in the face. Okay, go ahead, Ashley.
Special.
Jeez. But
at least until she brings up Vanilla Ice again. But go ahead.
I am like, everybody out there needs to realize that I am like a superhero. I'm like 7 feet tall and like, you know, 300 pounds of solid muscle. And
bulletproof.
So Bill is just trying to defend himself here. I mean, you know, the whole punching thing, but otherwise. So let's talk about this. How do you feel about them? Do you feel deep love? Do you feel admiration? Do you feel respect? Do you feel friendship? Friendly? Do you feel friendly? I feel friendly toward them. Do you tolerate them or do you not like the person? I think usually this thing is a two-way street. In fact, that when we have deep feelings for someone, the other person does as well. So think about this. I know everybody listening tonight has had a crush. Crush, right?
Yes.
And sometimes you don't find out about the crush. Sometimes you do find out about the crush. But for the most part, when you have a feeling towards somebody, it's usually a two-way street because you normally can't have feelings for somebody when another person doesn't have any feelings for you.
Wow.
Think about that.
You know, you say crush. I go back to elementary school, grade school, and she never knew. It was always a one-sided thing. So I would have a crush on a pretty girl and she was like in love with somebody else. So crush is tough for me. That's tough.
But you never told her though.
I never told her because why? Because I was afraid of getting hurt.
See? There you go. Ding, 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 ding. What happens when you tell somebody?
I had crushes all the way up through high school, for crying out loud, you know, and, you know, one girl had a crush on and, I never told her. You know, I think for similar reasons, it's like, you
know, getting hurt.
Yeah. I mean, cause you know, knowing my luck, it'd be like, I like you as just a friend, you know, I mean, which I hate it when women do that.
Yeah.
You know, I like you as just a friend, you know, I mean, you know,
oh baby, you got what I need. But you say he's just a friend
and you say he's just
baby you.
Oh my Lord, God bless our souls.
See all the sidebars we take and try to talk about love?
Okay, so get this. I had somebody last night actually message me and let me know that they had a crush on me for years.
On your Twitter?
No, not on Twitter. Oh, okay. Message me, like, you know, message me.
Oh, okay.
Text message me.
Okay.
And they said, hey, by the way, for the last few years, I've had a crush on you. And I was like, no way. I was like, I really appreciate you telling me. Now, you know, they're in a relationship. You know, at this point in time, and I've been married, so there's nothing I can do about it, but I thought that was pretty cool. And I said, hey, I really respect that you said that, you know? I mean, I can't say I had feelings one way or another, but I think it was pretty cool though.
Yeah, I mean.
And I respect that, and that makes me respect that person a lot more.
You were flattered too, weren't you?
Yeah, you were flattered.
Yeah, but it also made me respect them because they were honest about their feelings.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's an evolved person. We had a guest on the show several weeks ago. We talked about being an evolved human being, and I think that's a sign of someone being evolved.
That's a good point. And see, but the thing about it, Ashley, is that you are way more mature than the majority of the human population.
And evolved.
God bless you.
You know, I mean, and evolved, you know, because I can't think of anybody else who would react like you would. I think most people I know would react like, oh, that's kind of awkward, creepy, you know, you know, I mean, you know, I mean, in some ways, you know, especially when it comes to love and in our society, you know, and maybe another point I'd like to explore during the show. I mean, we in America, we still haven't gotten past our Puritan, you know, beginnings. You know, we have this funky attitude towards love and sex and all that good stuff.
I think people are scared of it.
People are definitely scared of it. Yeah. So it's like, oh, you have a crush on me? Yeah, okay.
I think
stay arm's length, you know.
I think people don't understand how to deal with it. I think honestly, you know, to be loved is an amazing thing. To be loved, to be told that you're loved, I think that's an awesome thing. And even when I'm told that I'm loved by somebody of the same sex, I am not upset or freaked out about it in one way or another. I think it's great. Yeah. I mean, I think it's awesome. I'm like, thank you so much for being honest with me, you know?
I can relate to that, Ashley. It took me a while to get to that point, and I look at it with an added dimension, you know, of having kids. You know, love with kids is something else because here you have this little life, this life that is in the process of forming, and they look at you and they show – and you see love in them. And I think it's an evolution. But, you know, it's about those feelings. When the person said they had the crush on you, it made you feel a certain kind of way. When people use love, it makes you feel a certain kind of way. And I think that's the core of it. What does that mean? Is that something lasting? Is that something substantive?
And does love indicate permanence or at least a long-term thing?
Yep, there you go.
To me, it does. But, again, I don't mean to keep going around in circles. A lot of times we use that word not in a permanent sense. You know, it's like, here's what I'm feeling right now.
And see, I'm the opposite. I'm one of those people, I'll love you no matter what.
Right.
I mean, unless you just screw me over and over and over and over again. And at that point in time, I'll still love you, but I won't be hanging out with you. I mean, I've had people that have done some despicable things. I still love them. I still care about them, but I do not want them around me, period, one way or another, because I know that they are just a volatile person. They're always constantly going to cause destruction around everybody, anybody, and around anybody's path. It's just the way and the nature of the beast for them, because they've never understood the concept of actually stepping up to the plate and doing the right thing. But, you know, when we come back, we're going to talk about, love. We're going to talk about more about feeling happy, because I think a lot of times happiness and love kind of are together. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of people always say, I'm looking for happiness. I'm looking for happiness. I'm not happy. I'm looking for happiness. And the same goes for I'm looking for love.
In all the wrong places.
In all the wrong places. I'm looking for love, you know. And the thing is that when you're looking for something that's already there, that's a problem. That's the problem, because you're just wasting a bunch of time looking for something that already exists within you. And when you don't get it, you don't get it. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about more about that, because once you get that, you're going to totally understand what love is. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight's show, we've been discussing love. What is love? What does love mean? Are you really in love with somebody, or do you just love the way they make you feel? And you know, there's a lot of questions we have, because I think a lot of times nowadays people are starving for affection. They're starving for attention, and they're misconstruing this attention and this affection for love. And you might just meet somebody and you automatically think you're in love with that person, and that's far from reality. I think a lot of times too, happiness and love go hand in hand, because we always hear everybody, or at least I do because of my position in life, you know, being a therapist and being a life coach and that kind of sort of thing, is I hear clients always tell me that they just want to be happy. Why can't I just be happy, Ashley? I just need to be happy, and I'm just looking for happiness, and I can't find happiness, and I don't know where to go for it, but I'm looking for it. And I say, happiness is within you, and you've got to be able to see the happiness within you before you don't need to go look for happiness. Happiness isn't hiding around the corner. It's not hiding in the shadows behind the trash. Okay. It's really right there in front of your face. And I think it's the same as love, is that people are looking for love. I'm looking for love, but they don't realize that actually love is within them. And when they start realizing that they have to love themselves.
That's the key point right there, Ashley. Yep, yes.
Right. And love themselves on every level, you know, and I think a lot of times people don't do that. Also, there are people pleasers out there. You know, men and women alike,
yep.
When they have sex with somebody else, they want to please them. So they think automatically, okay, if I'm pleasing somebody, then they must love me, because we're in love now. Well, that's far from reality.
Yeah, you know, actually, and this is going to be a little bit painful for me, but I think I have to share it, because I know somebody who fits this description to a T. And
you're not talking about me, are you?
No.
Because I'm right in front of you.
No.
Okay.
No. So this is my mom. I mean, okay.
Yeah, this is not you, Eric.
My poor mother, and don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, I love my mother. I would die for her. Okay. I would do anything in the world for her.
I know that.
She's one of those people that she defines love by, you know, she's one of those women, she has to have a man in her life to be happy. And so she confuses love with intimacy.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we were joking about this during the break, you know, but I mean, literally, I mean, she looks for love in all the wrong places. And she's one of those people that she tends to take on the personality of her significant other.
Oh,
you know, where she totally buries her own personality, her own self.
Because she tries to take on their personality.
Right. Yeah. Because, it, you know, in her mind, if she doesn't do that, then the other person won't
not gonna love her.
Love may not occur.
Yeah. And
she's constantly selling herself short, selling herself out for something to get some sort of love.
It's heartbreaking, you know.
And we see people do that all the time, but you see it from a son's perspective going, man, this really hurts.
I mean, and I remember clearly, you know, when I became an adult in my 20s, you know, when I finally realized that, you know, of course, as a kid, you know, I mean, you know, I mean, I didn't fully realize, you know, what the situation was. And when I realized it, I mean, it just came as a complete shock to me.
Yeah. When did you first realize it?
I think in, you know, in my early 20s, you know, when I'd gone away to college and then I came back, you know, because I, you know, when I went away to college, I didn't go home a whole lot.
What was that?
Not because I didn't want to, because, I mean, you know, money issue, quite frankly. I mean, I couldn't afford to, you know, go. I didn't have a car. Okay. I didn't have a car back in those days.
Yeah.
So I couldn't afford to, you know, to go back and forth a whole lot.
So you started seeing changes, though, when you had left for school and she's meeting other men or meeting people and then having relationships. And
but I mean, even when my brother and I were kids, I mean, you know,
sense something.
I mean, you know, she would just leave us on our own, you know, on Friday, you know, Saturday night, so she could go out honky talking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and
Bill's from Amarillo, by the way.
I'm from Amarillo, you know, West Texas.
Yeehaw.
And but. You know, it, you know, so my brother and I sense that, you know, I mean, something's not right here. My poor brother still holds some resentments about that.
Well, some people will always. You always have one that will hold resentment because they feel like, you know, they put them last. You know, you were too busy out, you know, gallivanting around, carousing to actually be a proper mom. And that's probably how he feels a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly how he feels. You hit it on the head.
I get it, Billy. And I want to jump add a little bit to that as well. And thanks for sharing that, man, because that's honest. And that in and of itself is love. And, you know, everybody's got a little bit of that. And I think it speaks to the idea or the reality or the dimension or the idea that everybody's searching and trying to figure it out, man.
Yeah.
Everybody is. And parents, adults, leaders, no one's immune from the pursuit of love and maybe sometimes the misrepresentation of what love is in your everyday life.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think what Ashley started this segment off with, I mean, you got to love yourself before
you have to,
you know, because in order to receive love,
you have to be loved or give love.
You have to be able to give.
Yeah.
And if you have nothing to give, then, you know.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed, Ashley, some of the things that are most important and most critical in life or most sustaining in life are counterintuitive? Think about that. The things, love, giving, sharing, you know, those, it's fundamentally counterintuitive and it feels awkward in the beginning, but once you acclimate yourself to it, then it becomes natural, like love.
Well, yeah, like you love yourself. And I try to explain this, and this has been in several of my books, and the concept of how to love yourself. And it begins with loving yourself, being able to be alone with yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think a lot of people aren't able to. I know more men than women, after they get divorced, actually have to remarry because they can't be on their own. They cannot have any time by themselves because
that's my mom.
Freak out. They cannot have alone time. And we have hands being raised here in the studio. And as well as you have to kind of date yourself. And I know that this sounds odd, but when I made a plan, this was years ago before I was ever married, and I had been through several relationships that were of good and bad stature, I believe. I mean, some that were better than others. And all the people involved were wonderful people, but just weren't possibly for me. And so I took time off and I said, okay, I'm not going to bring any baggage to another relationship. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to take the problems that came from the last relationship and bring it into another one, because that's how we do. We run into another relationship and then we project these issues on the other person and then we wonder why it doesn't work. And then we go to another relationship, we do it again.
And then you try to make love to make it better.
Oh, yeah, to save the relationship.
Which is probably the worst thing you could do.
Some people even go to the step further. They get married, and then they make love, and then they have a kid to save the relationship. We'll go back to that later on.
No.
So the thing was that I didn't want to do that. So instead, I decided to date myself. And what that meant is I went from holding that phone in my hand, looking at it, going, please ring. Please ring. Somebody just call me and want me to go do something because I can't be here by myself.
Pay attention to me, yeah.
Yeah, but I finally was able to put the phone in the other room. Eventually, I would make dinner for myself. I would, you know, rent a movie at Redbox or whatever, but that wasn't around at the time. But you know what I mean? You get the idea. And I would do that kind of stuff, and I would fix food for myself, and I'd fix healthy food for myself, and I would spend time with myself. And eventually, the phone was no longer in my hand. And eventually, I would find the phone in another room. Eventually, like, I started liking spending time with myself because I actually realized I like myself. And then I got to the point of realizing I actually love myself. And so I was able to find love. And that's in that last, the 10-day challenge to live your true life. That's one of the days is to actually realize, and it takes more than a day, but to figure out how to love yourself. And once you're able to love yourself, you realize what you will not deal with. Which you will not accept, period, in any relationship in your entire life. You will also realize what you're really looking for. And a lot of times we misconstrue love and sex. And I was able to see the difference after finding love within myself that some of the relationships that I had some of the best sex in was far from a loving relationship. These were relationships that some of them, if I would have stayed in, would have probably been the death of me.
Yeah.
They would have taken me down to the core. I would not have my radio show. I would be a kept woman, hidden behind doors, not allowed to do anything, only allowed to have certain friends, being regulated to what I was supposed to do. And I was going to be told by a certain person that wanted control over me how I was going to live my life. Okay, no. I figured out, no, that's not what I want. If I'm going to have control over myself, it's going to be by me, not by somebody else telling me what control I'm going to have. And so when I realized, okay, this is what love is, I was able to say, oh, well, control's not love.
Yeah.
Oh, this isn't love. Oh, this having this good sex but not being able to conversate isn't love.
So, Ashley, maybe one way to define love is define it by what it's not.
That's where we're going to start.
Or where it's not.
Yeah.
That's where we're going to start first. I met a woman, and you're right on. I met a woman in Vegas one time, and she was telling me, she goes, you know, Ashley, we started talking. She won the lottery. It was, you know, the cop in New York that won the lottery and gave half of it to the waitress at the, I'm trying to think what place it was. They actually made a movie about it.
Yeah.
So they made a movie about this actual real couple. Well, we were starting to talk about it stuff, and she said, you know, Ashley, the one thing I figured out from my abusive relationships in the past was I knew what I didn't want. I knew what I wasn't going to deal with, and I knew what I should be getting, but I first knew what I did not want to have. So when we return, we're going to talk about more about life, love. We're going to talk about more about happiness, about what love isn't, and then we're going to start getting into what love is. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, we'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up.
I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're talking about love, determining what true love is and what true love isn't. And right before the break, we decided that a good idea and a good way of figuring out what love is to figure out what love is not. And right before the break, I was talking about a story. You know, I met this couple in Vegas years ago. And they were actually the couple, it was like the winning lottery. It was the New York PD cop that actually won the lottery and shared the lottery money with a waitress of a place that he actually visited every morning. And the cool thing about that is, I guess she was his waitress in the morning and he would eat there and stuff like that. So they actually shared the lottery ticket. And I remember I was talking to her and I said, what makes good love? And she goes, well, I know one thing that makes a good relationship. It is not this. And she said she had been through an abusive relationship. She had been through all this kind of stuff. And all in all, she knew what love wasn't. And, you know, earlier I was talking about, you know, spending time with yourself and getting to know yourself and to love yourself and to spend time with yourself. And once you realize how to find love within yourself, and that is basically treating yourself almost like another person, like finding love within yourself, you know, understanding who you are, because a lot of times we take ourselves for granted. Because we're just us, you know, we're always there. I mean, what are we going to do? You know, and sometimes people get scared of being by themselves. And that's why a lot of people remarry very quickly after they're divorced or widowed, because they can't spend time by themselves and they've never really gotten to know themselves before then. So what are they going to do now?
Yeah, that describes my mom to a T. We got through talking about her last segment. But she, you know, went from relationship, finally hooked up with this guy who flat out told her, I'm not going to marry you. You know, he'd been in a couple of marriages and was burned by it. And said, like, I'm not going to ever get married again. And she stuck with him for almost 15 years in the in the hope that she could somehow turn him around. And in the end of the day, you know, he kicked her out. You know, kicked her to the curb. Literally kicked her to the curb.
That's pretty interesting. And Ashley talked about some earlier, and she took control of her pursuit of love and seeking of love and decided to go within herself. And you said something earlier, Bill, talking about the Puritan aspects and elements of how we see society even today in America. And you know, it's kind of weird. That love and marriage, you know, it's kind of like in that code or ethos, it tells us that we got to go find it. Let's go find love. Let's go find the perfect mate. Let's go find this. But, you know, nothing tells us to look within. And that's where it is. I mean, that's where it is. So some of the issues that your mother's dealing with and some of the issues that we all deal with, if we flip that, you know, maybe we'll find it. I mean, it's just weird to me. That's all.
Well, I mean, I'll say this, Ashley, you know, here I am picking on my mom, and again, I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea.
No, it's all love.
I really love my mother.
Yeah, all
well,
love.
The reason why you're bringing it up is to explain the situation.
Case study.
But I'll pick on myself here. You know, my issues when it comes to relationships, you know, especially romantic relationships, is I have a hard time opening myself up to someone else. I like myself. It's just that, you know, when I was a kid, I was bullied and picked on. And also I dealt with issues, you know, with my parents' divorce and my dad leaving and stuff like that. So I was afraid to open myself up because I didn't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
So it was relatively late in life before I had my first serious romantic relationship.
Yeah. Wow. And see, I've got a different dimension to that, Bill, in that. Love, I always ran from it because when I give all. And as a guy and as an athlete and all of that, I ran from it. And I was one of those people who use love or use the idea of love strategically. You know, I had no intent of committing. I had no intent of anything. But hey, if love is going to get me what I want, then I'll be loved.
Well, you know, and Erica, I'll ask you this. You know, Chris, like you said, you know, you were an athlete, and you know, of course, you were probably fairly pampered, growing up,
yeah.
And so therefore, you didn't have to worry about that because those things just were kind of given to you.
Yeah, but that was physical, and it left a huge gap in my life as I got older because I realized that I missed out on something.
Right.
And yes, we were pampered, but it was conditional. We worked hard. I'm not going to say that for all the athletes out there. We worked our
we worked
our rear ends off, especially here in Texas, and it's 120 degrees at two a days. But it that conditional relationship, people liked me not for me. Because it was because of who I am and what I did.
Yeah.
And which speaks again to love to a degree.
I think I agree with you. I think a lot of times we see love as physical. I think also a lot of people are brought up to see love as financial.
Yeah.
So think about the other side where you have parents that buy your love and constantly buy your love. And so you assume that love is a financial thing. Love is, okay, this is a monetary thing. And so they never really get to what love is. And you know, you touched on this, Eric, about, you know, the physical side of it as well as strings attached. And I think like with your mom, Bill, you know, the strings attached of, are they going to love me? If I do this, will they love me? If I act this way, will they love me? If I do this for them, if I put myself on hold, if I do this, if I do that, will they love me? And the thing is that's the sad part about it is that's not love. When you have to sit there and start jumping through hoops to figure out what love is, and you know, it's interesting that you talk about your mom. I'll take you off the hot seat for a second and I'll talk about my dad. So the thing was, is that with my dad, we love each other and everything, but I was jumping through hoops to get my dad's, you know, praise, to have my dad, you know, be happy with me and show me, you know, I'm so proud of you. And basically, you know, here you go. I'm proud of you. You know, the thing was, is that I needed to become proud of myself.
Yep.
And so there came a time when we went through a lot of stuff. We went through a lot of stuff. And when we came out on the other side of it, guess what? I no longer jump hoops for anybody.
Good.
And I no longer jump hoops for him because it's not about that to get somebody's, am I pleasing them? Am I making them happy? That shouldn't even matter anymore. It should be, are you making yourself happy? Because when I realized with other relationships that control is not love, that changed it all up. And I think a lot of women listening out there tonight, and I think a lot of younger women listening out tonight get it because they're going through these relationships where they're being controlled. They're being manipulated. manipulated. They're being told what to do. They're being told how they should be. Yeah. They're being told what a more sophisticated woman would be or what they would do. And in the actuality of the whole thing is that the person that's telling them this is just trying to control them. And so they actually love the control and the power. They're not really into this person because they can always find another person to control.
Yeah, I think that speaks more to that man. And unfortunately, that's a dynamic that I'm more aware of and I'm more conscious of having daughters. And I try to inoculate them from that. And as I've evolved, and again, I've started, you know, just about like any guy and not having a clue about love or any of that. But as I've evolved, I've realized that, especially from a gender perspective, the women that I've been most attracted to, Ashley, the women that I've been most compelled to come to a state of love with are women who have a high level of confidence. And that's attractive to me.
And I think that's an issue that a lot of women struggle with nowadays. Yeah. You know, I mean,
and that's tough because a woman who loves herself, it's like a rare jewel, and because she's so beautiful because of that, and it radiates because she is love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's an unfortunate thing. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I was going to say, you know, actually, I mean, I think you brought up a subject I wanted to touch on, which is the gender divide or gender gap when it comes to the definition of love. I think that a lot of women,
I think I'm going to agree already. Go ahead.
A lot of women will stay in bad relationships or toxic relationships, you know, because they define themselves, you know, from a self-esteem point of view that, okay, gee, if I would rather stay in this toxic relationship than be alone.
Well, let's talk about this. You're so right. Now, we don't even have to talk about toxic. Let's just talk about identity. So let's talk about the identity thing. When women, let me give a good example. You got women out there that marry pro athletes. Okay, you got women that marry pro athletes and they go on and the athlete that they married is all over the TV. They're playing, you know, whether it's football, they're playing every Saturday night or, you know, every Friday night or whatever the night they're playing.
Sunday
nights, whatever, you know. Yes, you got Eric over here, so he's going to help me with that. However, you know, they're playing every Sunday or, you know, during the day or what have you. And at first they are Mrs. So-and-so and they're happy to be Mrs. So-and-so. Okay. Well, then eventually a year or two goes by and they're not happy with being Mrs. So-and-so anymore, and they don't understand because they feel like they've lost their identity. I'm no longer myself anymore. I'm so-and-so's wife and I don't like it.
Yeah.
And so you have these whole contradictory ideas of identity, and you know why that happens is because they never really found love within themselves, or they would have never put themselves in the position in the first place. I mean, because that to me is a humdinger right there.
You know, actually, real quick, we're coming up on a hard break, but if I had my way, then I would require all women in America to take the Beyonce oath.
Ooh.
If you like it, put a ring on it. You know, I mean, I think a lot of women, you know,
just wait it out.
You know, well, I mean, they give themselves up too easily. I'm not talking necessarily about sex, but I mean, they give themselves too easily.
But that's two-sided
There's no incentive in it for the male to make the commitment. You were talking about the commitment earlier.
And that's two-sided, and guys realize that. Yeah. Unfortunately, guys use that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And for crying out loud, if the guy is getting all the benefits of a marriage without having to make the commitment, why bother?
Why bother? Buy the cow if you can bother? Rent it?
Yeah.
Why bother?
If you can rent the cow.
So, you know, take the Beyonce oath. You know, if you like it, put a ring on it.
And that's what I tell my daughters. Make him earn it.
Yeah.
Make him earn it. Because if he doesn't earn it, he doesn't appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, at least back in the day, you know, that you had a father with a shotgun in your face. Yeah. You know, that was a pretty good incentive. Nowadays, you don't even have that.
We're going to be handing shotguns out to everybody here after the show.
Nice.
So when we return, we're going to be talking about how when you spend time with the people that you feel that you love, are you happy during it or are you not happy? Or how do you feel? Or was it kind of just a build up for a real letdown? So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. You know what? We'll be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts. and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just now joining us tonight, we've been talking about love. What love is and what love is not. I think a lot of times in life, we think that certain things are love, and it is not love at all. It could be lust, it could be sex, it could be the opposite of love. And I think that we've been talking about earlier about how to really figure out what love isn't. And before that, we were discussing, you know, how you're supposed to love yourself, and how a lot of times when we don't love ourselves, we get confused on what love is. And, you know, earlier when I was younger in life, you know, I would think that love was more control, more strings attached and stuff like that. And it really isn't that at all. And by loving yourself and getting to know yourself and understanding who you are and basically kind of dating yourself, spending time with yourself and understanding that and not looking for other people to make you feel good is very interesting. And earlier, I think on break, we were discussing about, you know, again, how happiness and love are so linked, because a lot of times people actually look outside of themselves to find happiness and look outside of themselves to find love. And I know that, Bill, you were talking about your mom in that situation, yeah. And that is so inherent for a lot of people in this world, is that we look for love in other people.
In all the wrong places, yeah.
In other people when it's all within us, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And if we don't love ourselves, you know what? Other people aren't going to love us, and we're not going to understand what love really is. So we're going to jump through hoops, and we're going to have strings attached, and we're going to go through life, and it's not until way later down the road we realize that we missed out on something pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I studied a lot of philosophy in college, and one of my favorite readings was the Odyssey, Homer.
Yes.
Homer searched
the
world over.
Yep.
He searched the world over for a sense of himself, and he slayed dragons, and he sailed through storms and hurricanes and all of this. And ultimately, what he sought was within himself at home. Beautiful story. Beautiful story.
You know, I mean, the story of exploration, you know, yep. I mean, you know, the greatest frontier is, you know, ourselves. I mean, we've been trying to figure that out, you know, since human beings were walking the earth. You know, Ashley, tell you what, real quickly, you know, because you know that I'm a Christian. Okay. You know, maybe a lot of our listeners are as well. So I tend to view things through that filter. Right.
Right.
And here's, you know, a good Bible verse, I think, real quickly that...
please say it's Corinthians. Please, please,
it is.
Please, please.
It
yes,
is.
Yes, 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 yes. You know?
Here we go. Yeah, I've been waiting. E-Money's been waiting for this.
I love it, man. I love it.
So here's this definition, okay? Love is patient.
Kind. We'll start with the 1 Corinthians.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 13,
yep.
Verses 4 through 8.
That's it.
Okay? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, two points on that real quickly, Ashley. First of all, I don't think you have to be a Christian necessarily to agree with that philosophy.
Not at all.
It's just beautiful in and of itself.
And I think a lot of religions or a lot of philosophical systems have, you know, similar,
very,
you know,
similar
ideas.
Yeah.
But secondly, you can apply that those passages to whatever type of love you're talking about, not only romantic love, although St. Paul was talking in the context of marriage between a man and a woman in that letter. But I think you can apply that to friendships. You can apply that to families. You can apply that to, you know, whatever type of love that you're talking about.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I believe that you can love, I believe you can love everybody. I believe that you can honestly love everybody. I think sometimes we get caught up in the reality of what love is or what we think love is when we don't really know what love is. And I think, you know, a sidebar I kind of want to go down right now, I want to try the side street real quick.
Uh-oh.
Is that
get your motor running.
Taking a detour here. Go ahead.
Get your motor running.
Woo! You know, I think sometimes when we start a relationship, especially a love relationship, I think a lot of times people, and when I mean love, I mean romantic in this sense, I think a lot of times people have more of an addiction or more of a crush. And I think one of the ways that we can figure that out is, you know, sometimes you have the butterflies in the stomach, or prior to seeing that person.
Cold sweat.
Yeah. Prior to seeing that person, you're really like, yes, you know, you're looking forward to it. You're just like, this is going to be so great.
Clammy
palms.
This
is going to be so great.
Yeah.
And when you get there, you're kind of like, whoa, this is a letdown. And sometimes it's more of the idea of that person sometimes it's more of the idea of
the reality of that person.
Sometimes it's more of the idea of love instead of what the relationship really is. And so sometimes I think people think, oh, this is a letdown. And I think a lot of times it's because we're trying to make a relationship into something it's not.
You know, actually, I've heard that phrase. You know, you're in love with the idea of being in love.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times people are. And a lot of times people, you know, are in love with that idea and they want to get married so quick because, you know, they think marriage is the end all be all to everything.
And it is most certainly not.
Some think the wedding is the end all to be all of all things.
No.
And that's the end and they're going to get the divorce.
It's a process. It simply is a process that begins within oneself. And I just go back to 1 Corinthians. And Bill, thanks for reading that, man. I mean, it all really sums it up. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs.
And which by the way, I'll confess this from my own point of view. That's something that I do have a struggle with.
What?
Because I tend to, you know, since I'm passive aggressive by nature.
Oh yeah, you keep you harbor some stuff.
I do harbor stuff.
Yeah.
And that's something that I constantly struggle with.
And I think for everybody out there that does harbor that, I think that's a normal thing to do. However, what does it do? It actually stays inside of you.
Yes.
That's what the word harbor is.
Yeah.
You know?
And it goes back to that idea of counterintuitive. You know, most good things to some degree are counterintuitive. You know, again, love and harboring for your personality and even mine, Bill, I have the same thing to a very high degree. It's counterintuitive for me to do that. But once you break through that, there's freedom on the other side, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Break on to the other side.
Well, it's like with my dad and I, we had problems for several years and we overcome them. And the reason why we overcome them and how we did that was, one, we had to put our own issues aside. And he had to also understand what true love was. And he had to understand that he had strings attached a lot. And he came up from an upbringing like that. And so he thought I had to jump through these hoops. And when I said, hey, I'm not interested in doing that anymore, he saw that as going against him, you know, like a strike, like a preemptive strike. And he was like, I don't like this at all. But I was saying, the thing is that we can love each other, but it doesn't have to be like this game. And I think a lot of people are into the game and they are into it because of their parents, because of their upbringing, because of what happened in the very beginning. So they see that as love always.
Always, you know, and that's funny because, you know, boys or men and dads always is an interesting dynamic. And I love my father, dearly. And, you know, it's been up and down, but, you know, we're in a great place right now. And it all started by him saying, I'll never forget, he picked up the phone and he called one day and something was going on. And he said, son, bear with me because I'm working on myself. And when I heard that from him, I knew that was an opening because he started with not trying to work on me, not trying to correct things that may be wrong with me. But he started with, son, I'm working on myself. And that was a pathway to a greater relationship and a higher dimension of love between father and son. And it's a wonderful thing that we're experiencing right now.
That's awesome. That's real. And that's cool.
It is.
You know, like on the flip side of that, too, you know, like the time you spend with someone when there's real true love there, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a marriage, whatever, but when there's real true love there, the time that you really spend with that person can be really rewarding and it can be really worthwhile. And I think that it's worthwhile because it's a two-way street. There's a clear mode of operandi. You know, there's not a lot of draining of one side, because I know everybody listening and I know everybody here in the studio has been in relationships where it seems really one-sided. And you know why it seems one-sided? Because one person is feeling something the other person's probably not.
That's it.
And it's exhausting.
And they don't know what to say. And so they just play along with this game. And sadly enough, a lot of people see the game as love. And in your instance, your mom, as well as a lot of people I know, and I know people that are in some really kind of hard relationships that deal with stuff on a daily basis that I don't know if any of us could deal with. And they deal with it year after year without ever a marriage in sight. And they don't know what's going to happen. And they're holding on for dear life because they love this person.
If it's laboring, if it's taxing, if it's exhausting, then it's not natural.
Right.
Life is meant to, is meant to have a certain ease to life.
That's so true.
There's a certain ease to it. You know, and if it's tough, if there's a dis-ease, i.e. dis-ease, then that's a problem that needs to be looked at. And that's where the term comes from, dis-ease. That means that the ease of life or the ease of something has been blunted.
Right.
I agree with that because somebody's making it more difficult, or you're making your life difficult on your own. And timing's everything, and ease is of the essence, because when we make things, when things become too hard and too difficult, you got to step back and see, are you pushing against, are you going against what you need to go through? Because I think a lot of times we can do that because, you know, as humans, we can be very hard-headed. We can be very stubborn. We can believe that what we're doing has to be right. It has to be right.
I'm one of those people. I am not. I'm not stubborn at all. What are you talking about?
I'm one of those human people. Save me.
I'm one of those human beings. I'm just a human being.
So tortured.
So stay tuned, because we're talking more about what love is. We're going to actually figure this out tonight, guys.
Let's do it.
Stay tuned, because Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Massive perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing what true love is and what love isn't. You know, a lot of times it's hard for us to understand what love is because we've been either schooled to believe it's strings attached. We've been schooled to believe that love, you know, comes with all these little different modifications. We've also believed that love is certain things just because we've lived that way. We really don't know what true love is. And earlier we were talking about how, you know, one of the basis of understanding what love is to know and to love yourself. And I think a lot of people just don't love themselves. I mean, I know people every day that say that they just don't even like themselves. I mean, and there's a difference between liking and loving, but also when you're understanding what you love about yourself and you understand loving yourself, you're more open to be able to love another person. And I think right before the break, we were really discussing, you know, the concept of just the time that we spend and the sex that we have and that kind of thing, does that equate love? And I think we want to kind of turn our eyes onto another concept, and that's about intimacy. How intimate are you? And I think that that really derives what love is. I think intimacy is everything in every relationship, right? It's the cornerstone to everything, and it's the thing least found in any relationship. You know, having a bunch of kids, sexing it up every day, doesn't link it to intimacy. It's not the same thing. And in order to have intimacy, you have to be intimate with yourself. You know, you got to get to know yourself and understand why you do what you do. So think about that, okay? So, you know, Bill, Eric, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, and I think this is interesting, is that when you're able to be intimate with other people, you have to be, or you have to understand how to be intimate with yourself. And that's not like some sort of sexual thing. We're not talking about some sort of weird stuff. We're talking about being able to understand yourself, feeling love toward yourself, taking care of yourself, not having to run into a relationship because you can't be alone, because God forbid you're alone, you know, and people think that they're alone. They have themselves, but they just want to jump into any relationship so that it's not quiet anymore.
Well, actually, I'll complicate the issue even further, because you know, can't intimacy also extend in a different way to friends?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's, you know, in every single relationship.
You know, it's, I mean, you're kind of talking about it mostly in the romantic sense of the term, but yeah, I mean, I think it also extends to friendship. I know people, you and I both know people, who they have to be the center of the social, you know, their little social universe,
right?
And they you know,
with absolutely no intimacy whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, these are the people who have like 1,000 people or more on their Facebook.
Well, let's not go there.
You know,
no, let's not go there.
Now you're different. I mean, your Facebook is for a different purpose. But you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're saying.
They have, you know, they know this.
They know everybody just enough, just a little bit, and they only know everybody just a little bit to a point, right?
Right.
They don't get to know them very deeply. They don't have deep conversations with them. They're not there for them, really. They're there for the show.
Right, exactly. And see, and to me, and maybe I'm the odd man out here, but to call someone a friend, I think, implies a level of intimacy.
Yeah, intimacy by definition is, you know, it's funny you say that, Bill. From a noun perspective, it's a close familiarity or friendship or closeness. So in and of itself, intimacy is the pathway to friendship, or should I say, intimacy is a reflection of friendship.
Right.
And you have to be intimate with people. Like, I think we're intimate with people. We're intimate with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, because otherwise we couldn't do the show, because we wouldn't have the ability to talk about these issues together. One person would walk out the door, the other person would blush really badly, and the other person would be like, I don't really, you know, care about this. Let's talk about some real stuff, you know?
Yeah. You know, and
talk about the news.
Yeah. And then there's a certain vulnerability about that. Again, goes back to that counterintuitiveness. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you open yourself up, you know, oftentimes that's when good things can come in.
That's when always good things come in.
You have to, which is something I struggle with.
But you have to know who to open yourself up with.
Exactly.
So there are people out there that we, you know, you make decisions based upon the wrong definition of love, and you open yourself up to them, and guess what? You get hurt because it's not real love, because they can't share it with you. They are not intimate with you. But when you open yourself up with somebody that loves and respects themselves, even if you're wanting something different than that person wants, they'll still have love for you. They can still be intimate with you, and they can still explain to you and be there for you instead of making judgment calls or just hurting your feelings.
Well, you know, have you ever heard the phrase, Ashley, you know, I mean, or have you heard of romantic relationships where the other one is saying, you know, we have to be friends as well as.
Well, that's so important. I mean, you can't be married without being friends.
Love is based upon friendship, right? But I think that's what you and E-Money are getting at here is the whole
E-Money,
the intimacy thing. Whether you mean it in a romantic sense or in
that's
a friendship
what I'm saying.
Sense,
it's a cornerstone
or
of
both,
all relationships.
Both, you know, I mean, it can be applied to both at the same time.
Well, that's what I was saying. It's the cornerstone. Intimacy is the cornerstone of all relationships, and I agree with you. But in order to have love for somebody, you have to at least be a friend to them first.
Yeah, no, I agree, Ashley, and you took the words and the thoughts right away from me here because we started the show talking about love and how people instantly fall in love. Hey, there's a like on the Facebook, and we love each other. We just met at a bar. We love each other, but there's a pathway to love, and certain things have to happen before you get to love. Love is the big prize, okay? And if you avoid the steps of getting to the big prize, then you either don't appreciate the prize or the prize has no real value. And it's devalued. And so I think we're getting to right now is that love can exist and love can be found, but there are certain steps to get there. One of the steps is looking internally first. Some of the other steps are looking at it through the context of friendship and allowing it to evolve. Another step is looking at it through intimacy and allowing it to evolve. Is that a rational kind of way to look at it?
Well, it is. And maybe that's the difficulty people have because ultimately love is an emotional concept. And, you know, how long has the human, species struggled, to define love? I mean, and maybe
from
sometimes
the beginning,
if you put it in just, mere words, without the meaning behind those words, I mean, it's like you said, Eric, I think it, devalues itself.
Well, how you define it, how you see your relationship with yourself, I think is so important. I mean, if you see your relationship as yourself, as you're barely getting by, if you see your relationship with yourself as I really can't stand myself or I'm just allowing myself to be, I mean, I think a lot of times we come from the standpoint of where our head is, where our heart is for our own relationship with ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, like, for example, when people, get married as many times as possible because they don't want to be alone. It's interesting how they can get remarried, but guess what? They're still just as alone as they felt before, but now they're married. So then they go looking for more companionship on the side to make them feel like they're not so alone. But the point is their aloneness is within them. Yeah. And you could have a party of 150 people at your house, and if you still feel alone, you feel alone.
And that's where infidelity can come into play.
Well, yeah, that's because, the direction I was heading on that one, because then you try to find someone else that seems to fill the gap. And then you start getting into this like cornucopia of, well, that person's not really doing it, so let me add someone else into the mix. And then, wait, they're not really doing it because they're not there. Let me add someone else in the mix. And eventually, you get like this whole party line going, and guess what? You're still alone,
and you're increasing the complexity of your current state. Whenever you bring someone else into it, it becomes organically more complex, and that's the more difficult thing. And you lose sight of what you were originally trying to capture in the first place, which is a sense of love.
And I want to take another side note today because I think this is important. Then we're gonna take a little side step again. A lot of us, we love people, and I think a lot of people listening tonight, they prefer to love than hurt, than hate, than be sad, than be angry. So they really want to show the love. But I think there's some conditions that people have, including borderline personality disorder. And I know like some people listening right now will be like, what's borderline personality disorder? And we can talk about that on another show. But that's when a lot of people that have certain conditions can really suck you in. And sometimes people that are really just open for relationship, they see somebody and they see them as very different, very exciting. And when you meet people who tend to sweep you off your feet really quickly and really fast and really emotionally, be careful.
Danger.
Because you could be stepping into a minefield of BPD, which is borderline personality disorder.
You know, when the fire is too hot, you can get burned.
Been there.
You can.
Been there.
And those disorders can just really Wow, they can bring you in so fast and furious.
Yeah, especially if you have what I was told once a long time ago is a savior complex. You know, you're around people and you think that by saving them, you're showing a sense of love towards them. But what you're setting yourself up for is dis-ease, complexity, and exhaustion. And that's not a good thing.
You know, Eric, I was saying earlier, you know, my mom got hooked up, with this guy and, in a relationship for about 15 years. That describes him to a T. He's the savior. He was convinced that my mother needed saving. He was convinced that, her parents didn't raise her right, and you know none of the rest of us ever treated her right, and she also had physical issues, and you know he had to save her. Yeah. And you know it took him 15 years to realize, first of all, her physical issues weren't going to get any better. In fact, they got worse. But once he was convinced that she wasn't going to let the idea of marriage go, then he used an excuse to kick her to the curb.
Yeah. And see, there you go. And let's continue that conversation when we come back from break, because you really touched on a lot of good stuff that
good
we need
stuff.
To talk about.
Great stuff.
So stay tuned, because guess what? Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in, I'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've been talking tonight about what love is and what love is not, how to figure out if you're in love, how to figure out what love is with other people. And right before the break, we were talking about intimacy and how intimacy is the cornerstone of every relationship and how it's so important, because intimacy, you're supposed to be intimate with yourself. You're supposed to have intimacy with other people. And that's what love really is. It's not about sex. It's not about control. And earlier we were talking about also conditions. And sometimes this is a sidebar, but some of us get hooked into the glitz and glam of certain people that really come on very strongly. And a lot of times that can be also characterized as a situation called borderline personality disorder. We meet people who tend to sweep you off your feet emotionally very fast, and you could be really stepping into a minefield in that situation. And sometimes these disorders that we run into, they kind of run on a fast and furious situation, and it applies for both men and females. So sometimes when you're in a relationship and it seems to be moving extremely fast, you want to slow it down. You need to see it for what it really is before you find yourself in a problem situation. Because sometimes you can be, like when people say it was a whirlwind affair. Well, there's a reason why it's a whirlwind. I mean, there's a reason why it feels like you're in the center of a tornado, okay? It's because it's not real. You're being hoodwinked. You're seeing what you want to see, as well as you're kind of buying into this emotional, like, fury, when in actuality, if you slow it down a little bit, and you're able to see yourself for who you are, you can recognize that this relationship's really not a true relationship.
You know, Ashley, I've been in relationships like that where, I'll speak just from a romantic point of view, where our relationship, and we were just so into each other, and, we were having sex every night and, all that good stuff. And by the time we kind of, came up for air, so to speak, we realized that that's all our relationship was based on. And it didn't last very long after that. So when I got with my current girlfriend, who I've been together for almost 9 months now.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, in all honesty, that's the longest serious relationship I've had in years.
Wow. Okay,
and I
cool.
think one reason for that is because we specifically sat down and talked about it. Let's go slow. Okay. Let's not just, have sex on the first date, second, or even the third date.
Right.
And, get to know each other, be friends first, and, then just let the relationship just take its natural course. And, it's worked out for she and I.
I like that.
Yeah, and that goes back to what we talked about a little bit about before the break is there are certain steps. There are certain steps that have to be taken to get to the objective or the outcome that you want to have. And if you circumvent those steps, you're leaving yourself open for miscalculation, misjudgment, or just, plain heartache. And what you guys have done is you made a strategic joint decision to take particular steps seriously until you got to the next point. And that's a good thing. And I think you're being rewarded for that, I hope.
Yeah,
I think so. I think, and let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about what love is. I think we've talked about what love isn't. Let's kind of switch gears. What about, I think love, first off, respect is key. I think respect is key. I think a part of love is to respect the other person for who they are and what they add to the world, what they add to the relationship. You know, and if you don't respect the person, right, you really need to rethink the relationship. You know, if you don't respect them now, you're never going to respect them. You know, respect is essential to real love, right? And you can love someone as a child, as a friend, maybe perhaps, and not truly always respect their choices. However, I think in order to have a lasting relationship, you've got to respect the person.
You know, and again, I'll pick on myself here, Ashley. I had a serious relationship about 5 or 6 years ago that ended for that very reason. And it's because she didn't respect me.
She didn't respect you. And you, no. And you could feel it, right? You could see it.
I mean, and it was my fault because
you allowed it.
I allowed it to happen. Yeah. You know, I was, you know, that was the first serious relationship I'd had in a long, long time. And I didn't want to lose it or to ruin it. So I allowed her basically to walk all over me to the point where
and people will take advantage as far as they can go.
She took
they
advantage
don't really
of
love
me.
You.
And to the point where, you know, she didn't respect me.
Yeah, because it's hard to respect somebody that you walk all over.
Yeah.
And that's true. And I see that in a lot of relationships nowadays where you have women that want the bad boy and then they get in a relationship with the good guy, right? And they find the good guy. And if the guy basically allows her to walk all over them, they have no respect for
him. You know, Ashley, real quickly, I actually asked a woman this one time because that's my problem. I'm the nice guy.
Right.
So you would think that, you know, I'd have to be taking numbers as far as women go. So, you know, I mean, that they'd be lining up and I have to take applications or whatever.
Yeah.
But I asked her about this, and here's what she said. She goes, well, you know, you're a nice guy and everything, but then we get to thinking, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's
there's something wrong with you if you are a nice guy. And how messed up is that?
Well, they're messed up. They're the ones that messed up.
They're messed up, and they're going to mess it up for everybody else that's trying to do the right thing. And you know, I go back to my athletic self some time ago, and truth be told, and I'm going to reveal it in front of all of our audience today, the reason that I picked the male sport, the alpha male sport of football, was it was a protective mechanism to protect that nice guy self. Okay. It was a hyper projection of myself, because beyond all of that, deep down, I'm the nice guy too.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to get hurt. And so I created this bigger than life personality,
you know, to protect uber macho,
exactly,
you know,
protect, you know, that inner
my
self,
man.
Exactly, to protect that inner self, because I was a nice guy. And I found myself coming to some interesting kind of situations to where I would date a girl, and, you know, in college or sometime thereafter, and she wanted that bad guy. And I wasn't that bad guy. And you can see it on her face. It's like, I want to be treated badly, but I'm treating her nice, and so she doesn't like me because I'm treating her nice.
And that's sad. It's a sad state of affairs, because you reap what you sow. And so if you're not, you know, if you want the bad guy, that basically tells me, you know, you're not ready to be loved. You want to be in an unsuccessful relationship. You want to be in an abusive type relationship because that's what you know. Because that's what you know.
That's normal.
That's what you grew up around.
Yeah,
so either
chaos.
You saw dad and mom have arguments, and you saw dad be the one that was the Rolling Stone.
Interesting.
That hit his hat, put his hat up on the wall when he showed up and was gone for long periods of time. And mom was there crying or what have you.
Yeah.
Or mom was dating around with a lot of different men that were all kind of fast and furious. And then you started dating, or you had problems with your dad, and your dad was maybe a good guy, and so you went the opposite direction and found somebody else totally different. But for the most part, when you go with the bad guy, when you're going for that fast and furious guy, you're not going for love.
Yeah.
You're going because you're trying to prove a point. You're going because you're sowing your oats, or you're going because you have no idea what love is. Because, you know, those aren't, they don't marry them. And if they do marry them, they always divorce
well,
them.
Well, and I'll tell you something that love is not either. And I think a lot of women fall into this category, not to pick on women or anything, but, you know, they get with the bad boy because they want to tame the beast.
Yeah.
You know, and turn him into something that he's not. And in that relationship I was just talking about that I was in a few minutes ago, she basically used me as a Ken doll.
Yeah.
And wanted to, you know, turn me into her ideal.
Yeah, my comment to that, it goes back to that old East Texas wisdom that I got as a kid and you know, comes from some folks deep down in the country. And they say, you know what? You can't change grown folks.
Nope.
Can't change them. Can't change them.
Grown folks can change themselves if they make the commitment to do it.
If they seek within.
You can't do it for them.
But you can't change grown folks.
No.
Yep. And, you know, I think that's something, I think you're right about that. I think there's something within people, you know, to go after certain things. You know, I know people that go after, you know, in relationships, you know, married people all the time. And they go for that. Why? Because they don't want to have a relationship. They really internally don't want it to work. And so I think when you figure out yourself and you start understanding how to love yourself, that's when all these things are going to come clear to you. And you're going to understand why you've made these decisions for so long. But until you get to know yourself and you just keep going into relationship to relationship, you're going to make some not so good choices.
Know thyself.
You have to. And so lastly, before we go to break, let's talk about one more thing. And that is to allow other people to grow, to care for the other person without judgment. And I think that usually, you know, judgment enters into a relationship both ways. You know, one person is usually not the judgment only, but both people. Because I know I've had relationships, both friendships and romantic relationship that, you know, that I've loved the other person. However, all of a sudden judgment enters somehow. And when judgment enters, that changes the whole relationship. I mean, especially even in a friendship, if somebody's judging your actions or judging who you are based upon whatever, I mean, you know, a lot of times it's hard not to retaliate with more judgment.
Yeah.
And I think that once you allow judgment and you start disrespecting the other person, no matter if it's a friendship, no matter what it is, it's downhill.
Well, in you know, Ashley, I guess we can't help it. You know, here's one more, you know, we define love by what it's not. And, you know, that I think you're absolutely right. If you're getting into this cycle of, you know, well, you know, he's going to treat me this way, so I'm going to treat him. I'm going to do this to him since he did that. See, that's what ended my parents'
dangerous spiral
marriage.
Yeah.
Low these many years ago is that each got into the, well, you know, I'm just, you know.
Drew lines in the sand.
Yeah. And, well.
Get your Gatling gun.
And it was like, well, if you do this, then I'll do that.
It's all about, you know, this is predicated on, I will love you predicated on the fact that you do this.
Right.
I will respect you predicated on the fact that you do that. And that's not love at all. So stay tuned, because when we return, we're going to talk about what love truly is, how you can find true love in all your relationships, and how you can begin doing that today. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I am your host, Ashley Burgess, and we've had a great show for you tonight. We've been discussing what love is and what love isn't. We figured out what love truly is not, and so right now we're going to actually discuss what love really is. You know, first off, real love starts with you and only you. Clearly, everybody listening tonight, real love doesn't start with your husband or your wife. Real love doesn't start with anything outside of yourself. Real love doesn't start because of your friends or your family. Real love actually begins inside of you. And you can choose to see love. You can choose to be love. You can choose to act through love. You can choose to love yourself. You can choose the opposite as well. Nobody's holding the gun to your head, okay? But you can choose to be loved. And once you understand what real love is, like how you really love yourself and how you understand yourself and why we do what we do, because sometimes we make choices because we're human and they're not always the best of choices. And we do it because of some other reason. And in order to figure out that unconscious or subconscious reason, you've got to figure out yourself. You've got to take time. You've got to spend time with yourself. That means, you know, spending time dating yourself, getting to know yourself, being a part of yourself, not trying to always go to the next party or meet the next person or get into the next relationship and hoping that person is going to define you, because that's what people do.
I love it, Ashley. You just saved me a lot of gas and a lot of roses, I guess. You know, and we've been talking about this a lot, primarily from the perspective of being single in the pursuit of love. And I think that's a wonderful statement, even within the context of a marriage, because, you know, let's face it, marriage is sometimes a challenge, and we have our ups and downs. But, you know, for all the married folks out there, okay, you can still be in a marriage, still love your spouse, but love yourself as well within that context.
And, you know, Imani, you can give yourself roses. It's okay.
It's okay?
Yeah, give yourself roses,
because
man.
Because I am an evolved human
just
being.
You know, just give yourself and say, oh, thank you, self. You know?
I'm how loving nice. On me, loving
or,
on me.
Or it's or in my case, it'd be like, okay, what did you do wrong? No, I'm
kidding. Oh, that's hilarious.
Conditional.
Love me some me.
That's what love ain't right there,
no,
man.
No, it is not.
What did I do? Yeah. I love that. I love that. You're like, you know, you give yourself, instead of like the diamond ring, you give yourself some nice gloves or like a nice, like, you know, riding lawnmower. Yeah. What did you do?
You know, I got to tell you, man, on that point, though, I mean, I am happiest when my wife has gone to the beauty shop or she's gone to the spa or she's bought something nice for herself. And that makes me happy. You know why? Because she did something for herself. And that's a good
thing. She's treating herself well.
She's treating herself well. So for all you married folks in there, celebrate the love of self within a marriage and celebrate that in your spouse, because you know what? It makes for a better experience.
And real quickly, Ashley, before you go to the next point, I think that's the number one thing I'm taking from this show tonight. Date yourself. Yeah. I've never considered that before.
Dating yourself is awesome. And I did it for a period of time, you know, before I ever got married. And I just did not want to take that baggage, that luggage, those Louis Vuitton trunks into another relationship. And I just put my foot down and said, I'm just not going to do this, because I started seeing a pattern. And I think for everybody listening tonight, the human condition offers itself patterns, right? We get these patterns in people, and they come in the form of different people. They can come in the form of the same people. But when you keep taking the bait over and over again, that's called a pattern. And a lot of times we find ourselves in those patterns. You know what those patterns are trying to tell us? These are the most important things you need to learn.
Yep.
And if you continue to keep putting that on the back burner, we're going to keep dishing you up this same pattern. We're going to keep dishing you up these same issues. You're going to find the same problems. And guess what? You're not going to figure it out until you look within inside of yourself. And you're right, Bill. It's the same as happiness, too. So think about happiness. You can't find happiness outside of yourself. And I think that happiness and love go hand in hand a lot of times, well, all the time, because really, if you don't find love, if you don't have love, you can't be happy. I mean, that's why we're here. So if you're missing that component of love, then you're probably walking around every day going, I really freaking hate this crap. I mean, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm running around in a circle. I'm not getting anywhere in life. So think about it. Happiness is within you, though, which is so funny, because people think it's elusive. They think it's hiding behind some door. They think, oh, if I unlock this, or if I make this amount of money, or if I buy this car, or if I do this or do that, I'm going to finally get happiness. And then guess what? Happiness isn't there again. Poof, it's gone. But you know what? Happiness is inside of you. And when you allow yourself to honestly be loving and be happy and put yourself out there, you can find true happiness. When you're not sitting there guarding yourself, you're not hanging out, you're not wearing the pads and the uniform, you don't have the castle mode up, you're going to do fine. It's going to be okay. Nobody's going to come and get you. You're going to be fine.
I just had an Al Green moment. Love and happiness.
Love and happiness.
For all you people out there, go plug in some Al Green, some love and happiness. It'll make you do right.
It will. You do right, but you don't want to do wrong.
It'll make you do right.
I love that.
Love and happiness. Al Green, baby.
Al Green, baby. You know, and also love is paramount, right? It doesn't equate to sex. Okay, sex is a byproduct, but it doesn't equate to sex.
For all you young girls out there, for all you teenagers out there, love does not equate to sex.
Amen.
For everybody that's going through a divorce and looking for somebody else, love does not equate sex.
Take the Beyonce pledge, ladies. if you like it, put a ring on it.
Right, all the guys out there are going to hate me for it, but hey, love does not equate to sex. That's the reality.
No,
it doesn't. And so don't try to fake it. You know, I mean, you can have a great relationship and it's not all based around sex, because we all know that we've all had those relationships where it was all about sex. There was nothing more to it. And you know what? Those last about a second.
Split
second, you're done. Boom. You know, so what about the last thing? And I think the last thing is paramount. And, you know, besides not judgment, not judging yourself, right? What about not judging ourselves? Because I think a lot of times I hear people come into my office every day and twice on Sunday saying, I'm not that good. I'm never going to get this done. All this stuff's happening to me. I'm never going to find love. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, I guess I'm not a person that can be loved. I'm not someone that anybody wants to love. I mean, you know, I have all these issues and problems. And honestly, Ashley, and I hear this all the time. And it's like, if you don't if you don't respect yourself and you're making judgments against yourself, how are you going to find anything better?
How would you expect someone not to do that to you if you keep doing it to yourself?
Always the word judge, I've always had an interesting relationship with using the word judge or judging of someone. There's only, you know, there's a term that only God can judge. You know, only the only person or the only being that can actually judge is a perfect being. And
right.
There's only been one perfect, from a Christian perspective, one perfect being that walked this earth. So let it loosen up. Don't be so hard on yourself. Don't try to, quote unquote, judge yourself. You don't have the authority.
Yeah, which you know, doesn't mean that you can't, you know, look at yourself.
Self-analysis, all of that. But
okay,
yeah, but judging,
here's something I need to improve about myself.
Judging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But making judgment calls, because other people will judge you too. I mean, like we talked about this on previous shows, you know, if I walked in here and said, man, I'm the worst talk show host in the world, everybody out there listening is going to be like, man, she has something to say about that. She probably is.
Click. You know?
Otherwise, if I say I'm the best of the best of the best, sir.
Tune in.
People are going to be like, you know what? Yeah, she is. She is good. She is good. Yeah, she's got something there.
Tune in.
So, like, think about that. You got to respect yourself. You got to R-E-S-P-E-C-T, respect yourself, because if you don't, nobody else is going to do it for you.
Aretha,
bringing her in
the house.
And the whole idea of defining yourself. I mean, the coolest thing about this lifetime, about being a human, is one really cool thing. And I don't think you're going to hear this anywhere else in the world. You actually have the ability to define yourself clearly.
Yes.
You have the ability to say who exactly you are and what you stand for. And you don't have to side with anybody. You are original. We're all unique. That's the whole reason why we're here. And until you can actually embrace your unique qualities and who you are, you're nothing. You don't have it together. You can't find love, because if you can't embrace the things that make you different, you don't love yourself. You don't love yourself because you don't fit in. And why do you have to fit in? What's all about fitting in anyway? That's what it's all about.
Fitting into what?
You know, Ashley, I've said this on previous shows. You remember the co-worker from Heck? I'll say it, coworker from hell. You know that I
bring it in for the real thing.
Yeah, though. You know, coworker from hell. You know that it was my displeasure to work with as a quality control assistant in my previous life. You know, like you never asked her how she's doing because she will tell you, and it was never a happy story. One of the most common complaints she had was that you know, nobody loves me. I've never been married. You know, blah blah blah. And I didn't say this to her because I didn't want to, you know, well, first of all, because, you know, she'd start crying.
Who would want to marry you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I wouldn't want to marry her, you know? I mean,
you don't wake up every day feeling like it's the end of the world?
You know, yeah.
Everything's negative?
I mean, yeah. You know, it's like, who wants to be, you know, remember in the previous show we talked about energy suckers?
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
People who judge themselves
energy
are energy suckers.
Energy
and
they are.
You know, and who wants to be in that person's presence?
Because they'll judge you too.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be good enough either. Because if they're not good enough, you sure the hell aren't going to be good enough. I mean, that's just the way life is, because they could never find someone good enough. Remember that. I'll never find anybody good enough. Nobody will ever love me that's worth loving. So all these things that we say in our head is just insane. So you don't want to let other people define you. I think this was an awesome show.
You know, I love this show. And I hope the folks out there listening got a little something from this show today. This is why we do what we do.
You know, love yourself, date yourself, don't judge yourself. You know, you're a pretty good person, even with warts and all, even with all your faults, you're a pretty good person. So love yourself and then you can love someone else.
That's it, man.
I agree with that. So remember, you are the only one who can define you, and you have love within yourself. And remember, lastly, date yourself, court yourself, buy yourself the proverbial flowers, make the best of it. And you know what? You're going to find love. So stay tuned, because guess what? Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in three shakes.